y presto. Ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Baugan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Haz una pausa y disfruta mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-33-5833. 911-33-5833.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Everybody, it is Friday afternoon, and you're listening to Vaughan Radio. It's the Drive Time Show. Hi, that's right. Yeah, we're back, everybody, with the Friday edition of the Drive Time Show. Thanks for tuning in all week. If you've been here with us all week, I hope you've had as much fun as we have. And we got a nice show for you today. We're going to hear a classic song, Green Onions. You know this one, Tino? Yeah, it's a classic, right? Booker T and the MGs. We're going to hear from them in the second half of our Drive Time show today. We're also going to hear some very interesting expressions, some grammar, pronunciation. Let's see, our history section today. We're going to get into some interesting history as always. John Kennedy. Now, not J.F. Kennedy, but John Kennedy. Died in a plane crash on this day in 1999. So I'll tell you a little bit about that story. Also, the history of Amazon. No, not the Amazon River, but the company. You know, that big company, Amazon. I'm going to tell you how it started. We're going to look at the history of that company as we go all the way back to 1995. And it was this day in 1995 when Amazon opened for business. And the Drive Time Show is open for business as well. Let's get things started. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
everybody. Welcome to the Drive Time Show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for deciding to join us to invest a little time in your English today. Good idea. Yeah. Yeah. And we got a nice program for you today. They're always nice, but today's a good one. Also, it's Friday. I got that Friday feeling. And let's start things off by jumping into the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
Warm-up gym.
Warm-up gym, everybody. And a quick hello to our friends tuning in on Twitch. We got Zero Fallow. Zero. Not Fayo, but Zero Fallow. And we got, Homa. Homa Log. And we got Sila. We got Virginia. We got Nuri. Nuri Tam. Saying hello, everybody. How you doing? How's everybody doing today? And you can join the fun. People are saying, how can I participate? Well, you can join us today on Twitch. Twitch, everybody. If you're a Twitch user, you can get in the fun. Join the party by following Vaughn Radio. Now, getting into our translation today, I'm going to give you some sentences and you can write them. You can write them on Twitch or Twitter as well. We're live on Twitter, como siempre, as always. But here we are. Just say these out loud in voz alta. Number one, no dirán nada. Es que no dirán nada. They won't say anything. No dirán nada.
Shh, silence, please.
¿Cómo puedes estar tan seguro? How can you be so sure? ¿Cómo puedes estar tan seguro? Nuestros alumnos nunca se quejan. Our students never complain. Our students never complain.
No more complaining.
Exactly. Our students never complain. Nunca. Jamás se han quejado de nada. Jamás.
Jamás.
Exactly. They've never complained about anything. They have never. They have never complained about anything. Now, we can't say here, no se puede decir about nothing, because that would be a double negative. We have to avoid double negatives, right? They've never complained about anything. Siempre hemos mantenido buenas relaciones con los alumnos. Eso sí. Eso sí. We've always maintained good relations with the students. We have. We've. We're going to use the contraction here. We've. We've always maintained good relations with the students. Con los alumnos. Siempre. Mm-hmm. We've always maintained good relations with the students. Tengo este dolor de cabeza. Bueno, perdona. Tengo este dolor desde hace un mes. I've had this pain for a month. Desde hace un mes. Hombre.
Está la cosa mala.
Yeah. I've had this pain for a month. I've had this pain for a month. Tienen esa casta desde hace un año. They've had that house for a year. Mm-hmm. They have had that house. Esa casa. That house. Esta casa, this house. Esa casa, that house. They have had. Tienen esa casa desde hace. Now, at home, a lot of people are saying, tienen esa casa. They have, but no. They have it now, but they began having it, let's say, in the past, up to the present inclusive. That is our definition of the present perfect. They've had it, right? They've had that house for a year. For a year. Desde hace un año. For. So when you say durante, very often it's for. And for is followed by a period of time. Tells us how long something lasts. Tells us how long something has lasted or will last. I'd like to welcome... Vamos a hacer cuatro frases más. We're going to do four more sentences, but I would like to welcome our viewers today joining the party on Twitch. And I see a couple of questions. I'm going to get to those in a minute. But first, four more sentences. But if you want to ask any questions on Twitch, you can put them there as well. Also on Twitter, I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter. Okay? Let's do four more sentences. Cuatro frases más. Espero que sepas lo que estás haciendo. I hope you know what you're doing. Espero que sepas lo que estás haciendo. ¿No?
No tengo ni idea.
I hope you know what you're doing. What you are doing. Contraction, you're, what you're doing. No te preocupes por nosotros. No te preocupes por nosotros, ¿eh? Don't worry about us. About. Don't worry about us. No te preocupes por nosotros. Estamos bien. Don't worry about us. No se encontró nada. Pero nada, ¿eh? Nothing was found. Passive voice. Ah, qué curioso, ¿no? Passive voice, right? Nothing was found. How do we use the passive voice? We use the verb. We introduce the verb to be. We conjugate the verb to be according to our tense. And then we add the main verb in the participle, el participio, which is that third conjugation, right? That go, went, gone. Do, did, done. Is it that third one? With the passive, the main verb always goes to the third conjugation. And the tense is marked by conjugating the verb to be. Okay? No se encontró nada. Nothing was found. And this is the four. I said I would do four more. This is the last one. La casa fue registrada. The house was searched. Searched. The house was searched. I'm not going to say registered. Nah. The house was searched. Once again, it's the passive voice. Very nice. Okay. So now I think we're all warmed up. We have a bunch of people writing in on Twitch today. We've got... I'm going to answer these questions. Now, later on, un poco más tarde, later on we will do our famous by request section. But I love the interaction here, so let's get into some questions right now. We've got people saying hello. Virginia. Nuri. Nuri Tam. Now, let's see. We got Homa. Homa says... Congratulations to Nuritam for winning the Ricky Rubio book. Now, this is news to me. Do you know about this, Tino? So it is official. It is official, ladies and gentlemen. So Nuritam is the winner. Have a round of applause for our friend Nuritam, who's taking home an autographed copy. Firmado, además. An autographed copy of the Ricky Rubio / Vaughn book. It's called Speak Basketball. If you like basketball, this is the book for you. And if you're Nuritam, it's your lucky day because you've just won a copy, courtesy of Vaughn Radio, autographed by Ricky Rubio. There you go. Now, Harold has a question. And Harold says, hey, Kyle. He says, are cove and cave synonyms? No, they're not. A cave, eso es una cueva. A cave, C-A-V-E, cave, eso es una cueva. A cove is more like una cala. So you have water on the ocean where there is an inlet of water, or the water comes in. You could have a bay, for example, or a cove, which I imagine being more secluded and smaller. Okay. So we have, we have the cove and cave question. So they are in fact quite different. Okay. Now we have, Silly Peralta, or Philly, says, hey, Kyle, can we say pupils instead of students? Amigo. Can you say pupils instead of students? You can, but the word student is 100 times more common. 100 veces más común. I don't use the word pupil. Pupil is also that part of your eye. The part of your eye that dilates in the middle, the black part that gets really big when it's dark, and then when the sun comes out and it's bright, it gets small to let in less light. The pupils dilate. Dilate. Yeah. But we have, you do have the word pupil, but as for student, it's kind of an old-fashioned word. I think a lot of people look that up and they see the word pupil, but no, it's not commonly used. It's correct, but student is much more common. I recommend you just use the word student. Okay, Nuritam says thank you, I suppose, for the congratulations, and you're very welcome, and I'm glad that you're going to enjoy this book. It's called Speak Basketball. Virginia is there saying hello as well. Now, Joma says you won the ruffle. Now, not the ruffle, it's a raffle. Ruffle is like the potato chips, las patatas fritas, esas, los ruffles. Because ondulada, if you see, ruffle means ondulado or ondulada, ruffled. So it's an adjective, like the unas cortinas, the curtains were ruffled. So the brand of potato chips, Ruffles, makes sense because they are ondulados. But a raffle, una rifa, a raffle is what she won. Born to Iron Man says, kudos, which is cool. A great way of saying cheers. Congratulations, I should say. Congrats. Harold says, thanks. And Kubla is in the mix, too, saying hello. So anyway, raffle. But anyway, we're gonna move on, though, I think. And remember, if you have any questions, you can participate because we are live here on Twitch today, and we're also live on Instagram. You can participate. Sorry, we're live on Twitter, I should say, not on Instagram today, but we are live on Twitter. But we're gonna go ahead with a new section we've been doing for about a week, having some fun with this one. We call it "What's Going On."
What's going on? You've got some attitude.
Everybody, what's going on? The way this works, we try to guess what's going on. ¿Qué está pasando? Who's talking and what are they saying? Now, before I describe it, before I explain anything, let's hear it once. Lo vamos a escuchar una vez primero, and then we're going to talk about it all together. So we'll try to figure out who's talking and, of course, what's going on.
You wonder what to do with yourself because, you know, it's like anyone, if you go into the office for 10 years, you go to the office, you know that route, and then suddenly you're fired, then you're wondering what to do with yourself. It was the same for me. We'd split up, And suddenly, I didn't have that job. And I was really confused. I wondered what to do with myself, you know. I wasn't the main writer. They had all the rights. And I didn't know what to do. And then, of course, you know, in the end, you pick yourself up. I called George Martin. I said, I'd like to make a record. And I made a record of all the music I'd heard from my family. And that started me. And then, you know, I did a country album. And then with Richard Perry, we made the Ringo album, which was, you know, I had a couple of number ones off that. So I was back on the road, you know. But at the beginning, it was, I just was confused.
All right, so who is speaking? He's talking about, he says, I didn't know what to do with myself. Which is an expression that means what to do with all this extra time that I have. I'm idle, I'm not working, my whole lifestyle has stopped and changed. And I didn't know what to do with myself. But then he talks about how he said we had split up. So to split up, to separate, like to break up, could be a relationship. Or it could be a band. And Kubla's getting hot over here. He says, is it one of the Beatles? And in fact, it is. It's one of the Beatles. Is it Paul McCartney? No, it's not Paul McCartney. It's not Paul McCartney. This isn't, in fact, Ringo Starr, the drummer. Because you'll notice he says, I wasn't one of the main songwriters. He says, I wasn't one of the main songwriters. But I went to George Martin, and George Martin was the Beatles' producer. Or manager. Producer or manager? Anyway, he said, I went to George Martin. I said, I have some songs, and I want to record an album. So he did. Okay? So Jesus always gets a song. He says, what's going on? From Marvin Gaye. That's true. We do that one. That's our music for this section. That's right. But Jesus, do you know who is talking? Well, we know now that it's Ringo Starr, but maybe you could explain the situation and ¿qué está pasando? What's going on? So Rachel says, a person who worked in an office. However, he got fired. Then he does another job. Well, it wasn't just an office job. It was performing with the Beatles. But he said the Beatles had broken up. So it was 1971, I think, when they broke up. And then he said, I didn't know what to do with myself. So eventually he went and made another album and made a couple more. So let's hear it again. Now that we understand what's going on, let's hear it one more time.
You wonder what to do with yourself. Because, you know, it's like anyone, if you go into the office for 10 years, you go to the office, you know that route, and then suddenly you're fired, then, you know, you're wondering what to do with yourself. It was the same for me. We'd split up, and suddenly I didn't have that job. And I was really confused. I wondered what to do with myself, you know. I wasn't the main writer. They had all the rights, and I didn't know what to do. And then, of course, you know, in the end, you pick yourself up. I called George Martin. I said, I'd like to make a record. And I made a record of all the music I'd heard from my family. And that started me. And then, you know, I did a country album. And then with Richard Perry, we made the Ringo album, which was, you know, I had a couple of number ones off that. So I was back on the road. You know, but at the beginning it was, I just was confused.
So, yeah, he says, eventually I got back on a roll. I got back into it. But at first, I was confused. So that was Ringo Starr. And he's still at it, right? He's still doing his thing, I believe. I don't know if he's making music. Maybe it's been a while. I don't know. But he was saying, I didn't know what to do with myself after the Beatles broke up. But then he went and started making solo records. So a very different accent from mine. But like I said, that was, in fact, Ringo Starr. Now, oh, we love expressions, don't we, Tino? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's have a look at our expression of the day. Expression of the day. Expression of the day. Umpteenth. Umpteenth. Oh, my God. Umpteenth? Pero qué es eso? UMP, ump. 13th. So if I say 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, the umpteenth time, no sé cuántos, pero muchas veces, this means something is incalculable. So many times, and I just don't even know. I don't know how many times it was, having occurred an uncountable number of times. Many times, many times. Well, you could say umpteen, umpteen, umpteen. We went there umpteen times. Or for the umpteenth time, Kyle is explaining expressions. Kyle's teaching us something interesting for the umpteenth time. So it just means for some amount of times that is so common, so frequent, that it is, it's like incountable, incalculable, let's say, having occurred an incalculable or uncountable amount of times. Kublai says, tropecientas veces, ¿no? Acabo de explicar eso tropecientas veces. I've said this umpteen times. Umpteen and umpteenth. The umpteenth time. And that, folks, is our expression of the day. Now, we have to get into, we're going to have an interactive section a little bit later on, but I want to give you, we're going to go to Twitter for a little interactive challenge. I'm talking about today's Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Oh, the Twitter translation. You know how this one works, right? People are saying, oh, yeah, claro. The Twitter translation, I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish and you can say it in English and write in on Twitter. Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Pero todavía no sigues a Kyle en Twitter y en Instagram. No sabes cómo se llama. Se llama...
I'm Kyle Miller.
O lo que es lo mismo. I.M. Kyle Millar.
Okay, it's true, I'm Kyle Miller. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Lo pensé, pero no lo pensé demasiado. Lo pensé. Lo pensé, pero no lo pensé demasiado. Tell me how to say that on Twitter or on Instagram, and later on in the show, we're going to review your answers. I'm going to look at your responses, okay? Twitter, Instagram, in both cases, I'm Kyle Miller. And I'll be back. We're going to take a short break, everybody. A short one, a quick one. But I'll be back in just a few minutes with plenty more of the Drive Time Show. Lots to talk about in our next half hour, including music from the great Booker T and the MGs. You're going to love this song. So stay with me, folks. Don't touch that dial.
See you later there.
Si los profesionales de su empresa no comunican eficazmente en inglés, su empresa no necesita clases de inglés. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente. Muchas son las empresas españolas que despilfarran el dinero contratando clases de inglés a diestro y siniestro. Café para todos y resultados para nadie. Dominar el inglés requiere enfoque, esfuerzo y un plan. En Baugen Empresas tenemos un plan. Un plan hecho a medida para su empresa. No nos interesa vender clases, nos interesa conseguir soluciones. Y para ello, tenemos un apasionado equipo de profesores formados meticulosamente en el método Baugen. Llama al 911-335831. 911-335831. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Vaughan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en la habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Vaughan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Beat for Teens, de Vaughan.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughn. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughn teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Si tienes hijos entre 4 y 14 años y vives en Madrid, esto te interesa. Este año vuelven los Urban Camps. En los Urban Camps, tus hijos hablarán inglés durante todo el día, sin dar una sola hora de aburridas clases. Aprenderán con juegos y talleres diseñados por nuestro equipo de profesores Vaughan. Cada día con un tema distinto. Crazy Science, un viaje espacial, artes escénicas. Y mientras ellos aprenden inglés divirtiéndose, vosotros, papás y mamás, podréis seguir tranquilamente con vuestras obligaciones en esas semanas sin cole. Horario de 9 de la mañana a 5 de la tarde con posibilidad de ampliación. Comenzamos la última semana de junio y podrás reservar las semanas que necesites hasta final de julio. Los Urban Camps tendrán lugar en diferentes colegios de la Comunidad de Madrid. Así podrás escoger el que mejor te venga. ¿A qué esperas? Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate de todas las opciones que te ofrecemos. Repito, 91-133-5833 o grupovaughan.com. Los Urban Camps de Vaughan. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
This is a classic, and it's an instrumental track. Instrumental track. You got to know this one. It's Green Onions. Green Onions by the band Booker T and the MGs. The album was also called Green Onions. It came out in 1962 and went to number 7, or the song went to number 7 in the U.S. and number 3 in the U.K., and it's an instrumental track with a simple but unusual time signature, a 2-4 time signature. And Booker T and the MGs, they were a house band for a music label in Memphis, Tennessee called Stax Records. So artists would go in to record, and they were just hired by the label, by the record company, to be basically every artist's band. If you didn't have a full band, they would perform for you. They played with artists like Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding, Isaac Hayes. But between sessions with other famous musicians, they recorded their own material, including this. Now, Booker T himself said he credited the success of this song to its apparent simplicity. He said, Green Onions appears to be a simple song, but every time I play it, I have to pay attention. I have to remember and school myself on how the notes go, because it's not as simple as it sounds, he says. Now, the band developed this song while they were waiting for a singer named Billy Lee Riley to show up for a session. So they were in the studio, and they were waiting for him. and they were started jamming on a blues sound. He said, I played on a Hammond organ. And the sound engineer in the studio, a guy named Jim Stewart, really liked it, and he wanted to put it out as a record. We all agreed on that, and Jim told us that we needed something to record as a B-side. So they did another sort of organ jam on the other side and put it out. And, yeah, so they had this song called, and they ended up calling it Green Onions. And I said, why was it called Green Onions? He says, because it's the nastiest thing I could think of. And something that you throw away. Something he didn't like. Now, the group's guitarist, a guy named Steve Cropper, he brought a copy of this song to a Memphis recording studio, sorry, radio studio, the day after they recorded it. And a local DJ there was a friend of his and put it on the turntable off air to hear it. He says, oh, this is great. So then he put it on the air and started playing it for listeners, and the song became a quick success. He says he put it on 4 or 5 times in a row. We were dancing around the control room, and people loved it. And this song uses that Hammond organ, which has a very unique sound. Hammond organ, which was often used in military uses and in churches and chapels, but became popular when it was used in the Quadrophenia movie, which was a documentary film, well, a movie made by The Who, featuring The Who. And they play this organ in the film, and it sort of popularized it for use in more modern music, funk and rock music. So there you go. Booker T and the MGs. It's Green Onions, a classic song. It's a hit. It's a hit. And maybe we'll play this one again a little bit later on. I think it would be a good regular song to use on the show. Don't you think, Tino, for a section or an intro or an outro? It's a cool song. Hey, it's a classic. Divinamente. Tino likes it. He likes it. Anyway, we're going to move on, everybody, because I know you like facts. People are saying, I want a fact. I want to learn something. Okay, let's go ahead with a section we call And That's a Fact.
And that's a fact.
That's a fact, everybody. Today, facts about the NBA. NBA, that's right, basketball. We're going down to the basketball court to hear a little bit of, hear a couple facts about the NBA. Now, two of these are true and one of them is a lie. Uno es mentira. Okay, so here we go. Which one is the lie? This is the way we play the game. You can tell me on Twitter. You can tell me on Instagram. You can tell me on Twitch. Perhaps the most significant year for the NBA was 1979. During that year, the NBA adopted the three-pointer. There were no three-pointers until 1979. And rookies that year, new players included Magic Johnson and Larry Bird joining the organization. These three factors reversed a major decline in popularity that the league had been suffering. So it was declining in popularity, but Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and the three-pointer fired things up for the NBA in 1979. Fact number two. The record for the most points ever scored by a single player in an NBA game is 100. Held by Wilt Chamberlain, the record for most total points ever scored in an NBA game between two teams is 370 in a game between the Denver Nuggets and the Detroit Pistons. 370 points. Is that possible? Or is that a lie? Mentira? Okay, number three. The NBA was created in 1936, and by 53, the 1953-54 season basketball. It had 26 franchises based in large cities and smaller cities. The 26 team structure from that year is still operated today. Only one of the teams from that year, from 53-54, is operating today, and that is the New York Knicks. That one seems strange to me. Let's go through these facts one by one. Which one is the lie? ¿Cuál es la mentira? One, two, or three? Let me know on Twitter. Let me know on Twitch. Let me know on Instagram. Whatever. Take your pick. I'm going to check my Instagram, just see if anybody's writing in. Number one was true. That was a fact. Yeah, the three-point field goal was adopted from the American Basketball Association, a former rival of the NBA. Magic Johnson was selected first overall in the 1979 draft by the Lakers. Larry Bird was actually drafted in 78 by the Boston Celtics, but waited a year before he signed on to play as he was playing with Indiana State. Now, Larry Bird and Johnson's rivalry, Magic Johnson's rivalry, and the added excitement of the three-point game brought the NBA out of a slump. And it helped them out a lot. Absolutely. Absolutely true. Number two is also a fact. Wilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia Warriors at the time scored 100 points in his team's win. 169 to 147, they won that game. My gosh, against the Knicks. It was March 2nd of 1962. But yes, the game with the most points scored by both teams was a 186-184 win by the Pistons over the Nuggets in 1983. The game went into triple overtime. So there you go. So that means that number three, as I expected, was a lie. Una mentira.
Mentira.
Exactly. Exactly. Like Tino says, mentira. The NBA was created in 1936, and by 53... the 53-54 basketball season, it had a whopping, there's a good expression, a whopping, un impresionante, an impressive 26 teams. Of the 26 teams from that year, Yeah, there were only eight franchises in 1953. There are only eight franchises, and all of them are still in operation today. The Celtics, the Knicks, the Hawks, the Lakers, the Nationals / 76ers, the Pistons, the Kings, and the Warriors. The NBA was founded in 1946 and merged with the smaller National Basketball League in 1949 to create the NBA. The new league began its its 17th franchises from cities large and small, and went through a consolidation process until it had only eight, the smallest number that there would ever be. So eight, and now they've built up to, I don't know, probably around 30 teams. There you go. Well, there you have it, folks. Anyway, facts about the NBA, folks, on the Drive Time Show today. And let's see, Kubla says the NBA has a Spanish bank as the sponsor. Yes, BBVA, I suppose, is a sponsor of the NBA, I suppose. There you go. Absolutely. Anyway, we're going to move on, everybody. We've got, I like business. We do this not every day, but almost every day. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. Now, I think today what we'll do is a little bit of translation. I have my book here. It's called Business English. If you're looking for work or if you need English in your job, then I would recommend that you check out Business English. Tu guía para conseguir trabajo y triunfar en los negocios en inglés. Business English. And today I want to look at two phrasal verbs from this book, phrasal verbs related to money. Okay? Two phrasal verbs related to money. The first one is to dip into. To dip into your savings, for example. Empezar a usar tus ahorros. We wanted to buy a car, so we dipped into our savings. We entered into that pool of money. We resorted to it. We dipped into it. Empezar a usar tus ahorros. To spend part of your saved money. Exactly. Now we have another one, which is to break into. Which basically means the same thing. We had to break into our savings. We dipped into our savings. We broke into our savings. So how can we practice these phrasal verbs and gain agility with them? Well, by practicing, by forcing ourselves to use them, of course, and pushing into different tenses. So here, let me give you a question or a couple of questions, and you can answer in the affirmative. Did she dip into her college savings? Yes. She dipped into her college savings. Has your brother dipped into his savings recently? Yes. He has dipped into his savings recently. Does the company often dip into the emergency fund? Yes. Oh, yeah. The company often dips into the emergency fund. Will they dip into the emergency fund if they have to? Yes. They'll dip into the emergency fund if they have to. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we also have to break into. Did she break into the money her mother gave her? Yes, she broke into the money her mother gave her. Have the kids broken into their allowance money? Yes. The kids have broken into their allowance money. Do they always break into their savings this time of year? Yes. They'll always break into their savings this time of year. Will she need to break into her emergency funds? Yes, she'll need to break into her emergency funds. Okay. All right, so there you have it, folks. To break into, to dip into, and to break into. Good ones to know. Good ones to know. A couple of phrasal verbs talking about business there, folks. But we're going to push forward. And this is a part of the show where we use a different piece of Vaughn material every day. Well, not a different piece. Lately, we've been using the same piece for the last couple of weeks, but it's an interesting piece. I'm talking about today's On the Same Page.
On the Same Page.
Well, you can be on the same page as well if you have this book. It's called False Friends.
Amigo, que deberías conocer.
Eso es. False friends that you should know. Okay. All right, and let's see here. Today I want to talk about parents. Padres, mis padres, not the same as parientes. Ah, parientes are relatives. Now, this is on page 92. If you have this book, I recommend you check it out. And, well, I recommend you go to page 92 and you can follow along. We have parents, mis padres, padres, which, by the way, we never say fathers. If you want to refer to padres, we say, well, fathers would be two fathers, two males, okay? So, yes, padres, we say parents, and parientes would be relatives. So relatives include your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father. Relatives. Relatives. So, intento visitar a mis padres por lo menos una vez al año. Eso sí. I try to visit my parents at least once a year. That's true. Es triste que perdiéramos el contrato, perdone, el contacto con nuestros parientes lejanos. It's sad that we lost touch with our distant relatives. It's sad. Es triste. Muy triste. We lost touch with our distant relatives. Mm-hmm. Habrá una reunión de padres el próximo lunes. There will be a parents' meeting next Tuesday. There will be a parents' meeting next Tuesday. Bueno, próximo lunes, perdona, next Monday. Cada vez menos gente envía postales a sus familiares. Es un poco triste, pero sí, es así. Right? Fewer and fewer people. Cada vez menos. We say fewer and fewer. Fewer and fewer people send postcards to their relatives. Sus parientes. Fewer and fewer. Cada vez menos. Fewer and fewer. Nuestros padres nos enseñaron buenos modales. Eso sí. Our parents taught us good manners. Buenos modales. Our parents taught us good manners. Mm-hmm. Pasamos el fin de semana visitando a familiares. We spent the weekend visiting relatives. Mm-hmm. We spent the weekend visiting relatives. Visiting relatives. Okay. All right. So there you have it. False Friends. It's an interesting book. And people seem to enjoy it. You know what? Why don't we do another one? Ya que estamos, let's do another one. Another piece from this book. We have Stranger. Not the same as extranjero. Yo soy un extranjero, but I'm not a stranger. Stranger is un desconocido. But people think it sounds similar. Estrange, extraño, estraño. No. No. Stranger is un desconocido. We say, don't be a stranger. You know, come around, come visit. We also have an expression, to not be a stranger, to be no stranger to something. If you're familiar with something, you're no stranger. Like, Eric Clapton is no stranger to the guitar, right? He knows the guitar very well. Now, extranjero is a foreigner. 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 Una persona extranjera. Now, foreign is the adjective, extranjero, a foreign object. A foreign person comes from a foreign country. I am a foreigner in Spain because I come from a foreign country, Canada, a foreign country. But here in Spain, I don't think I am a stranger. No soy un desconocido, because people... You know, I come into the office and Tina says, oh, it's Kyle. Te conozco, right? So, un desconocido vino a vivir en el pueblo. Hombre, a stranger came to live in the village. Mm-hmm. Muchos extranjeros viven en Madrid. A lot of foreigners live in Madrid. Yeah. A lot of foreigners live in Madrid.
Killing me.
Yeah. están acostumbrados a ayudar a extranjeros. They're used to helping foreigners. Okay. So there you have it, folks. Foreigners and strangers. Very different. Two very different terms. Now, in a little while, we're going to get to our buy request section, but we don't have time. We don't have time for that right now. So maybe we have time for, how about a paragraph, Tina? Why don't we jump ahead and quickly have a look at today's paragraph of the day.
Paragraph of the day.
All right, everybody, it's time for the paragraph of the day.
That's right, our paragraph of the day. I'm going to read this, and we're going to review with some of the vocabulary that we see here, okay? One thing I've been able to learn over the years is that you never get rich by working hard. The key to making money is knowing how to get things done through people. And another thing, if you want to win in life, don't work for anybody but yourself. Well, that's an opinion. That's an opinion, but, you know, he's saying that if you want to get rich, you've got to delegate your time. I think there's some truth to this. You have to delegate tasks that are, that can be done by someone else easier, can and probably, and often should be delegated. And if you want to be more satisfied, just work for yourself. I don't mean just work for yourself, but work for yourself and reap the rewards of your hard work. Okay? So he says one thing I've been able to learn over the years, a lo largo de los años, he says, is that you never get rich by working hard. The key to making money is to know how to get things done through people, a través de la gente. Conseguir que las cosas se hacen a través de la gente. And another thing, if you really want to win, si quieres ganar la vida, don't work for anybody but yourself. I don't know. I mean, it's a model that works for many people. I like working for myself. I like being self-employed. I like working for myself. But I think it is a structure. Well, it is a, it's an arrangement that's not for everybody. So I think different people have different ways to be satisfied in life, you know. Some would rather work for a large company and others would rather work for themselves. So I guess it's personal preference. But I tend to agree with this paragraph, I should say. Now, we have some questions coming in on Twitch. And I'm going to answer those questions. We have also questions that have come in through Twitter, through Instagram, and many other places, but I'm going to get to those in the next half hour. So stay tuned, folks. We have lots more to learn, lots more to practice. I'll be back in just a few minutes right after this, so don't touch that dial.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Te levantas, una ducha, te tomas un café, te vistes, otro café, coges todo para salir, no encuentras las llaves, el coche tarda en arrancar, no arranca, por fin, atasco, más atasco, llegas al trabajo, otro café, reunión, otra reunión.
Haz una pausa y disfruta, mejorando. Aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-133-5833. 911-133-5833.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Vaughan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en la habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Vaughan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Beat for Teens, de Vaughan.